Welcome to the Lying Media Bastards radio show.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. We know the air is unfit to breathe and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living room. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to ride. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value. I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
I want to... I want to be someone else so I'll explode. Floating upon the surface for the bird. The bird. The bird. Thank you.
my neck. I'm tired of asking. I don't want another heartwarming television special. I don't want a new lighter tennis shoe. I don't want revolutionary hair care products. I want revenge! A BMW 330 to throw a rod. I want the mechanic to overcharge you. I want revenge. I want your stockbroker to run off with your trades. I want your facelift and arches to fall. I want your wife to find your Blue Boy magazines. I want revenge. Your daughter to drop ecstasy and sneak into discos with rappers wearing gold chains. I want gypsies to steal your credit cards on your parents' vacation. I want your son to drive drunk. I want your property taxes to go up. I want revenge!
In my hand, then I took it from Adena to the SI land. I pulled up on the block, got out the truck, it was the first of pit stops, the era of the spinning top, the birth of hip hop. That was something I had identified with, so I made it my point to exploit this fly gift. Then myself and RZA made trips to the BX, a mass of ferocious MCs, the town of T-Rex. Giants in every way, rap flows for every day. We knew we would get a reward with a price to pay. The basic training was beyond entertaining, just the cadence of the verbal expression self-explaining. Wore my boots out from constant walks across the borough, tore the troops out the frame when they challenged the most thorough. From well concealed firing positions, we let off the most dangerous with that slang that just shattered the coast. They say I rhyme like the bank to stop, cause MCs be more shook than the dice just drop. Especially if I'm rolling, then the point is definitely proven, cause with the jizzle holing, that keep a nigga moving. I walk Broadway from Quincy to Myrtle, back to Quincy, cut careers, whatever the expense be. They heard the legend run to the reverend, with headaches and blackouts worse than 7-7.
And when my job is done, then it's time to get those that's coming up some run, so you can see where they from. They says the product is good, we gonna sling it from the slums up the hill to the hood, till it's understood.
We still search through the crates for songs that just breaks. At times we play legendary battles on tapes, unlikely confrontation with a clash of swords. Energy that was stored, we rained and just poured on cats and dogs. Water that flooded the stands, the violence of nature had triggered the violence of man. That was bloodshed from which said audible threats, publicized regrets, wanted it alive or dead. A handful recovered from the dramatic plunge, while the rest kept babbling and speaking in tongues. Since the competition already slayed him in the scrimmage, he continued to tarnish that already faded image. In the sport, when they come short, majors don't need them. Then they broke, lose their homes, livelihood, and freedom. The rhyme could be a blunt object
effect that make you choke like too many toasts. Gotta be charged to grow. This witty unpredictable talent, all natural game, but non-additive slain. That's all actual fact. The high roller knock the chip off your shoulder, strike like the perfect bowler. The catastrophic damage from what was hard to manage. Punishment swift and sudden, unparalleled advantage. Brought to a level where you're frozen and can't speak. Trapped in the frigid temperatures of that peak.
And when my job is done, then it's time to get those that's coming up some run so you can see where they from. It's just the product is good. We're going to sling it from the slums up the hill to the hood till it's understood.
Hey there, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Lying Media Bastards radio program. That was just Gizza, or is it Jizza, from Wu-Tang Clan doing Auto Bio. Before that, we had Heart doing Barracuda. And a new, well, new to me, Alternative Tentacles band called Report Suspicious Behavior, doing a song called Revenge. I kind of dug that one. So like, no, I don't want all the stupid-ass consumer products you want to give me. I don't want all the comforts, conveniences. I want vengeance upon the evil people of society. and before that, we had Radiohead doing Talk Show Host. I'm Jake. Lying Media Bastards is the name of this program. Music and politics and hopefully humor and ranting and such. Media analysis, media news, baked hams, snow and sleet and puppy dogs and rainbows and beef jerky. I don't know. So let's see here. Plenty of news to talk about. Let me do a little public service announcement for you, the listener at the moment. I have another radio show that I do for my other job, and we will be interviewing Noam Chomsky on that radio show on Monday. And I produced the show. The host said, "Come up with a big list of questions that we can choose from. We can ask all these questions of Noam Chomsky." So any of you who've got a question that you would like to ask Noam Chomsky, wish he would answer for you, go ahead and email me, and I will sneak that into my list, and maybe it will get asked. And if it gets asked, I'll let you know, just so that you could find out the answer. Email me, let's say at Jake@lyingmediabastards.com. That is a fine address. Let's see here. What shall I talk about? I'll do another announcement. Saturday. Today, the day that I'm recording this and playing it live, Thursday. This Saturday, having a party down here in San Diego to raise money for Pirate Radio. Raise money for the station 106.9 FM, a micro-broadcaster down here in San Diego, who can very, very happily for us here, they set up this radio signal, and they decided, you know, we don't have the resources to broadcast and do our own programming. Let's play somebody else's programming. Who should we do? Let's do Radioactive San Diego. So they took our internet stream and put it over the air. Meaning it could be heard by the masses of San Diego. But they're having some money troubles. So we're having a little party down at the Sparky's Bar. You know, I probably have a PSA about that here somewhere. Let me play that if I can find it. You know, I hate Macintosh computers. That's what we've got in here. Terrible. Nothing's happening. I'm clicking on things. Nothing's happening. Let's see here. Maybe if I run down. No. Let's see. I'm sure this is fascinating to listen to, Jake scrolling through a menu. would it be in here? No, it would not be in there. Okay, I'll play it later. I guarantee you will hear the ad. Sparky's Bar down in, you know, there's about 1,500 posters here. Let me actually look at one of those. See, you can hear the poster? Isn't that great radio? Let's see. Saturday, December 17th, 8 p.m., Sparky's Bar at 1521 30th Street. So you want to come to our party? We're gonna be broadcasting live from there, and you can hear us, and it will be wunderbar. Let's see, newsy news. I have. Okay, here's a fun one. Fun newsy bit. I don't remember if I mentioned this last week or not, but. Website called Capitol Hill Blue. I couldn't have read it last week because this came out on Friday. I've solved my own mystery. Doug Thompson writes for a website called Capitol Hill Blue. Capitol Hill Blue is really kind of a gossip site by Washington, D.C. Gossip, news, rumors. But it's frequently correct, is what I'm saying. And this computer is fucking up. I cannot believe this shit. Basically, he had some... he talked to some White House aides who had... who meet with the president. They know the president. And apparently some members of the Senate were talking to President Bush saying, you know, I don't know if we can reauthorize the Patriot Act as it stands because some of this stuff... is unconstitutional, or might be unconstitutional, or might be found unconstitutional. And Bush says, I'm tired of you always throwing the Constitution in my face. It's just a goddamn piece of paper. Which, as the president, as part of his oath, he's sworn to uphold and protect the Constitution. Kind of a funny thing to hear him say. Unless you'd paid attention to any single behavior he's exhibited in the past 6 years. 5 years? 6 years? Let's go five. Yeah, and the thing is, of course, he's right. Constitution, piece of paper. And, this is something, I know many people, believe in the principles of the Constitution. Some of them, anyway. As we should recall, the Constitution does say that, African Americans are only 3/5 of a human being. It says that's on how states will get seats in the House of Representatives. Said that slaves, which were exclusively African American, states would get 3/5 of a they would count when you were counting up how many members you'd get in the House of Representatives and the Congress. You'd count up all the white people, then you'd count up all the slaves and multiply the number of slaves by 3/5, and then add those numbers together, and that would say, oh, we've got 10 million people in the state, and that's how many representatives you'd get. But basically, that sort of tells you that the message behind that is that if you're African-American, you're only 3/5 as a real human. And that's in the Constitution, this cherished document that founded the country. Yeah. But this is sort of the basis of all law, really, is this idea that on the one hand, piece of paper, on the other hand, principle, and then on the other hand, reality, in which these things are used and abused at will. Something I really wish more people would have a grip on, the sort of, I can't think of the right word exactly, the uselessness, ephemeralness of these laws that we would like to think make our lives better, make our country good, protect us and protect our rights and all that. No. As we've seen, the Bush administration tramples all over these things. Clinton did the same thing. Law enforcement, judges, anybody involved in the enforcement of law should be very aware of the fact that they're used as a person sees fit. Bush is right. The Constitution is just a piece of paper. It's good that he has that out in the open. On top of that, though, that sort of showcases the George W. Bush. He's an angry man. Apparently, he has these outbursts on a regular basis where he just yells at his aides for not doing what he wants or telling him things he doesn't want to hear. And because of that, the aides don't tell him things they don't think he wants to hear. This has actually been the cover of news magazines this week. This idea, is Bush living in a bubble? You know, does Bush surround himself with so many lackeys and yes-men that he does not see the reality? He's only told what he thinks is going... He thinks what he thinks is going on is what people tell him is going on, because he's not actually doing the research. He doesn't actually read newspapers or watch the news or anything. And because of that, his total view is on what he's told by these people who are too afraid to tell him bad news. So he probably thinks that, you know, all Iraqis are, you know, wearing huge diamond rings and driving big cars and the big smiles on their faces, and everything is peachy. Which, no! That's not how things are! But, I have another good quote from Bush in here, which, if this computer had not turned evil, I could read to you. Yeah, I'm going to play some more music and all. No. I will stand fast and I will give you the quote. Brian Williams, who is an NBC reporter, interviewed George W. Bush this week. And he was basically trying to get the president to admit that there were several facts that the president had announced before the war that turned out to not be true. So he was trying to get the president to acknowledge or speak upon this. And Bush says, okay, go ahead and tell me the three of them. Let's go through them. And Brian Williams says, okay, the first one is that we would be welcomed as liberators. And Bush literally says, well, I think we were welcome. It just wasn't a peaceful welcome. Okay. Now, I suppose literally he's being accurate there. But nobody said that, you know, welcome simply means the acknowledgement of your arrival in some fashion. Usually, in the colloquialness of the term, welcome is a happy thing, a positive thing. You say, hey, great, good to see you, glad you came, welcome, welcome. Bombs and bullets do not fall into that category. Also, unfortunately, Brian Williams sort of misphrased the question there, where he should have talked about we would be greeted as liberators. We were literally told by the media and the government the U.S. Army was going to come in, and the Iraqi people were going to be so thrilled to see us. They throw flowers at the feet of the soldiers and give them candy and hand jobs, and I don't know. But, no. That did not happen. If Brian Williams had gone through the complete phrase, Bush could not have pulled this nice little, we were welcome, but it was kind of unpeaceful. Jesus. I think what I'd like is if everyone in Iraq, let me go back. Okay, so this welcome. The unpeaceful welcome, the not peaceful welcome, is resulted in, let's translate. The unpeaceful welcome means over 2,000 American families have mothers, sons, brothers, wives, husbands dead. Can't get them back. Big hole in the family. That's the unpeaceful welcome. Or at least 15,000 families are going to have mothers, brothers, husbands, sisters, dads coming back, missing arms and legs, bits of shrapnel in their heads, so they're kind of thinking funny and aren't the same people they used to be. That's the unpeaceful welcome. Also, as sort of part of that welcome, the U.S. returned the favor by killing, it's looking like, at least 30,000 Iraqi people, from what I understand. Who knows how many wounded? Has made the country unsafe for these people to walk around. There's a good chance if you walk out the house in Iraq, you might be kidnapped, held for ransom. There's a strong fundamentalist element running through the country where people are running around killing, bombing, burning people who aren't following their particular brand of Islam. You know, you're not wearing your headscarf, you don't have a big beard. You know, on the plus side for the Iraqis is that they got rid of the dictator. You know, yeehaw, we did one good thing there. Of course, the intent that this was all, you know, this is the welcome and results of attempting to take the oil out from under the feet of the Iraqi people. And maybe that's another bit of good news, that that plan is not going so well, and that oil is still going to be there for those folks. To sell to us, to drive our cars and pollute our air and burn away the ozone layer and heat the planet so that the ice caps melt and flood the... Anyway, I was going somewhere with all this. Ah, yes. So for the Iraqi people, what I wish would happen here, I believe the Iraq is a country of 27 million people, 24 million. I get a little confused sometimes. Let's say all the Iraqi people could form a line, come to the United States, form a line up to the door of the White House, and that Iraqi person gets to meet George W. Bush, and if they want, they can kick him in the nuts. I think that would be a good thing, and it would be up to them. If they didn't want to kick him in the nuts, they could shake his hand if they liked what he'd done, whatever. But I think the nut-kicking option should be there. Maybe a line, so that you got the... First, you get to see Bush, kick him or not kick him. Then you got, let's say, Rumsfeld. And if you want, you could spit on him or punch him in the face or shake his hand. You know, your call. Everybody in Iraq would get to do this. And then third in line, you'd have Dick Cheney, who would be naked and chained to a wall with electrodes attached to his testicles. And if you wanted, you could. I guess you couldn't shake his hand because he'd be chained to the wall. But if you liked what he'd done, you can give him a pat on the shoulder. And if you didn't, you could flip the switch and electrocute him. Not to death, of course, just a painful shock, because he thinks that's an okay thing to do, the whole shocking of people who are chained up. Okay, I've rambled and been seditious long enough. Time to get into some more music. Who have I got here? Alice in Chains. How ironic I would speak of Chaney in Chains. And no, I guess that's not really ironic. Just kind of slightly coincidental. You're going to have Alice in Chains off of their best album, Dirt, which is their best album. Don't argue with me. Their best album. And play more music later. Let me see who I've got queued up. Some new music that I got for you all this week. Maybe you know some of the names. I'm going to play a little Arcade Fire, a little Beth Orton. Maybe some Exploding Hearts. I found a new song by them. A little Manu Chao, Metallica, Moby, Mogwai. And I have a very interesting track which involves Christmas. I won't even spoil that. We'll play that later. But here's Alice in Chains. I'm Jake, Lying Media Bastards. You want to hop on and make a song request, go send an instant message to Radioactive SD.
Sitting on an angry chair. highway to North Carolina, staring up the road and pray to God I see headlights. I made it to the coast in 17 hours, picking me a bouquet of dogwood flowers, and I'm hoping for Raleigh, I can see my baby tonight. So rock me, mama, like a wagon wheel. Rock me, mama, any way you feel. Hey, mama, rock me. Rock me, mama, like the wind and the rain. Rock me, mama, like a southbound train. A big banjo now. Oh, North Country winters keep forgetting me, and I lost my money playing poker, so I had to wipe and lay, but I ain't gonna turn it back. The little lad don't laugh no more. So rock me, mama, like a wagon wheel. Rock me, mama, any way you feel. Hey, I caught a trucker out of Philly, had a nice long toque, but he's headed west from the Cumberland Gap to Johnson City, Tennessee. And I gotta get a move on before the sun. I hear my baby calling my name, and I know that she's the only one. And if I die in Raleigh, at least I will die.
Like beer? Like pirate radio? Then we've got an event for you. Come on over to Sparky's Pub this Saturday, December 17th, starting around 9 o'clock for the 106.9 FM Benefit Beer Blast. Come out and drink a beer to support pirate radio at Sparky's Pub, 1521 30th Street. That's this Saturday, December 17th, starting around 9 o'clock. There'll be libations and fun times.
Test, blah, 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 blah.
Okay. Test. Okay, test now.
We'll see you there.
Italy.
Mi respirar.
Hey there, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Lying Media Bastards radio show on Radioactive San Diego. What the? That song ended rather noisily. That was Nouvelle Vague, the bossa nova band that covers punk and new wave songs of the 1980s. And that was them doing Teenage Kicks, the song by The Undertones. For that, this is a track I downloaded on MP3. Not 100% sure if the title information I have is accurate, which is always kind of frustrating. The track I downloaded says it's Manu Chao, and definitely that was him, but it says Manu Chao with R.E.M. Now, I didn't hear Michael Stipe. I did not hear any mandolins. Didn't hear any instrumentation that made me think, wow, R.E.M. is playing with them. So I do not know whether or not R.E.M. was actually involved in that track. So that was Manu Chao and possibly R.E.M. doing Mala Vida. For that Bikini Kill, doing Little Red. Old Crow Medicine Show, doing Wagon Wheel. Chow Nasty, doing Ungawa. Just heard them for the first time today. Know nothing about them. And then started off with Alice in Chains, doing Angry Chair. Got some, I'm not sure if it's, I guess it doesn't really count as local news. Only sort of. New House bill coming for the House of Representatives. H.R. 4437, the Border Protection, Anti-Terrorism, and Illegal Immigration Control Act of 2005. Right now, if you're in the country, the U.S., and you don't have your immigration papers, either you're not here legally or you don't have your papers with you, I guess it's some sort of misdemeanory sort of thing. This would make it not just a felony, but an aggravated felony to be in the U.S. without your papers. It sounds like it would also increase funding for military-type forces along the border between the U.S. and Mexico. Because, surprisingly, not so much concern about illegal Canadian immigrants. As we know, there's always a... when it comes down to it, almost all discussion of immigration comes down to racism and jobs. It's, I'm playing with the microphone. Racism and jobs. Now, there's, some folks feel that, obviously a lot of the illegal immigrants coming up from South America, Central America, Latin America, they're here working day labor jobs that... Generally, American citizens would not work for those sort of wages. There's a lot of talk about, those darn Mexicans are taking our jobs. To a large extent, no. The illegal immigrants are not taking your jobs. But there are, of course, some. And it's a frustrating thing. I mean, really, the only way to, get past this, they're taking our jobs thing, is if there was some sort of international labor solidarity. The whole issue of our jobs, losing our jobs, they're taking our jobs are going overseas. It's about wages. It's about big corporations trying to screw everybody. It's not that this guy's taking your job, it's just that somebody's taking your job away because they want to make a buck. And if there was some sort of, if unions weren't so based in being local or national, it might be that, General Motors says, okay, workers in Michigan, if you won't take these pay cuts, we're going to move our factory to India where we could get a better deal. The workers in India say, hell no, we want good wages too. Then the company's stuck. The company has to negotiate as a whole with the international worker thing. Doesn't work like that so much these days. Unions have lost a lot of power. And only some unions actually seem intent on getting recruiting new workers into the unions. Some just sort of, rest on their laurels and try to work on... sometimes they get the corrupt officials who will come to like their lifestyle and their income, and they're willing to just sort of try to keep the peace between their union members who they allegedly represent and the members of management who they've become pals with. and not actually make changes or fight for their folks. But that's not even the worst part of this bill. I'm sorry, the anti-immigration bill. Let's see. It would give extraordinary powers to low-level immigration officials within 100 miles of the border to expel, without a hearing, anyone believed to be a recently arrived illegal immigrant. It expands mandatory detention to apply to all non-citizens arriving at a port of entry or along the border. So part of that is, let's say you've come into the... come into the country without your papers or illegally, they put you in prison. There's not a mandatory detention. And even worse, that 100 miles thing. Jesus, some Border Patrol agent decides that you're not in the country legally, so they can throw you out of it? That's crazy, crazy, crazy. That's what that is. And that was... from the ACLU, that's their analysis of this bill. I would go, if you want information, you want to write your congressman and say, please don't vote for the fucking crazy bill. SanDiego.IndieMedia.org. Scroll down a little bit. You'll get the link about that. I've just been reading a bit about WTO meetings going on in Hong Kong right now. World Trade Organization. Sadly, most Americans really don't know what's going on with any of this. It's, the first they heard of the WTO, if they've heard of it at all, was the Seattle protests back in 99, where the media lovingly portrayed the protesters as a bunch of rich white kids with dreadlocks who have too much time on their hands and don't know what they're talking about, who like to riot. Remember, the rioting is important. And that's what that is sort of. I think that would be your average American's understanding of the WTO. It's that thing that those stupid college protesters protest against. That's the WTO. Now that would not explain why you're not getting much news coverage of it. But in Hong Kong, there are thousands and thousands of people in Asia, South Korea, China, out there protesting against the WTO out there. Because there's so much at stake. I mean, it affects daily life. And no more. I'm reading this article, Alternet. Alternet.org is one of the only news organizations I've seen giving a lot of coverage of the WTO meetings right now. And this latest article I'm seeing there is about water. Water, as you know, you need to drink it or you die. Pretty simple sort of thing here. Apparently, the wealthies in the lobbyists and people working for various corporations who are attending these Hong Kong WTO meetings are pushing for the privatization of water in poor countries, which would mean that if you wanted water, you'd have to pay someone to get water. According to the United Nations, 1.3 billion people right now in the world lack access to clean water. Now, making people pay for water is certain to make that number larger. Now, there's 6 billion people on Earth. That's the population of our little planet. 1.3 billion, that's what? That's about 25%. So you're thinking about 25% of the world does not have access to clean water, and these folks are pushing to make them pay for water, which would, I don't know, let's just take a wild guess and say that would push it up to at least 30 or 40% of the world's population that couldn't get access to water. I'm going to quote the article here. Pushing the agenda here in Hong Kong are a small number of multinationals that dominate the growing water market. Because, yes, in some countries they already have privatized the water. Two French titans, Vivendi Universal and Suez, dominate the group. Yes, Vivendi Universal, the company that owns Universal Studios and the Universal production companies. They make movies and TV here in the U.S. According to the report by the Canadian NGO Polaris Institute, the two, often called the General Motors and Ford of the global water industry, control over 70% of the existing world market in water services. RWE, a German electricity and waste management company, may soon challenge their market share. After purchasing two key water companies, RWE has positioned itself to expand. The U.S. construction giant Bechtel, now notorious for its no-bid reconstruction contracts in Iraq, is now also a player. Let's see. Government regulations requiring high water quality standards for safety, accessible rates for poor communities, or specific improvements in pipe infrastructure could be declared unnecessary by a WTO tribunal. Now, this is possibly the most dangerous aspect of the WTO, is that any company, a rich company, can go to its legal representatives and say, hey, you know, we're trying to do business in country X, but they got this law. They got this crazy law that says we can't sell water filled with carcinogens. Or we can't sell, they're saying we can't sell our teddy bears covered with poisonous spikes. I don't understand. It's not fair. It's a barrier against free trade, is what they say. And then the representatives of the government say, oh, that's very serious. Let's take this to the WTO. And then the WTO, a tribunal of three people, I believe it is, who aren't elected by anybody. And I've actually tried to find information on how they're selected. I have no idea. I cannot find. So three people that you don't know, you didn't vote for, and you don't have any say in what their decisions. They're going to decide whether or not the laws in the quasi-democratic country you live in will actually be used. So. So they're saying here, basically, those water companies we talked about, let's go back over the names, because they're new to me as well. Vivendi Universal, Suez, RWE, and Bechtel. Those are looking like the top names in the privatized water world. They could go forward and say, these countries here got these laws saying that everybody should have access to water and water's communal property and it should be clean and people should be able to drink it. We think that that's against free trade and we want you to get rid of it so that we could buy up the water in that country and sell it to people for money. So I'm going to have to research this more and I will tell you all about how the evils of everything and we can all be depressed and I'll start drinking. Do I want to talk about more stuff before playing music? I'll reiterate. Party this weekend at Sparky's in San Diego to make money for Pirate Radio. Also, I will be in a position to possibly get questions to Noam Chomsky on this Monday. You get answers on this Monday. And if you would like to have questions asked of Chomsky and answered, email me and perhaps I can make that happen. Email me jake@lyingmediabastards.com. You know, I think I've got a good song for things here. I'm talking about crazy, depressing stuff that makes you angry. And let's go with that.
Smell like a dry fish boat.
Hey folks, Lime Media Bastards Radio Show. I'm Jake. That was just Arcade Fire doing Rebellion. And in parentheses, I think it's Lies. So I don't know how one does a title like that. For that, Just One Fix by Ministry. And then before that, we had Metallica doing Stone Cold Crazy, which to me felt very fitting after talking about the insanity of privatizing water. Let's see, what do I got coming up here? I got two pieces here that require a bit of introduction. I'm not sure which to do. I will do the Christmassy one first, because it's just weird. This here, 1970s, I guess in the 70s on television, Bing Crosby, the singer, would have, he'd have Christmas specials. He's sort of the stereotypical Christmas special, people in sweaters at somebody's house, fireplace, Christmas tree. Hey, it's special celebrity guest Charo, or, you know, whoever would come by, the superstars of the 70s, or maybe the B-list celebrities of the time, come on the show, they'd sing Christmas carols, etc. Here I've got the Bing Crosby Christmas special from 1977 with David Bowie. So we have here David Bowie and Bing Crosby, which is really weird. and I have the whole thing, including the intro that they do of the patter dialogue, whatever, of the on the for the show. So let's play Bing Crosby meets David Bowie at Christmas time in the late 70s.
You the new butler?
Well, it's been a long time since I've been the new anything.
What's happened to Hudson?
I guess he's changing.
Yeah, he does that a lot, doesn't he? I'm David Bowie. I live down the road.
Oh.
Sir Percival lets me use his piano when he's not around. He's not around, is he?
I can honestly say I haven't seen him, but come on in. Come in.
But,
come on in.
Are you related to Sir Percival?
Well, distantly, yeah.
Oh, you're not the poor relation from America, right?
Gee, news sure travels fast, doesn't it? I'm Bing.
Oh, I'm pleased to meet you. You're the one that sings, right?
Well, right or wrong, I sing either way.
Oh, well, I sing too.
Oh, good. What kind of singing?
Well, mostly the contemporary stuff. Do you like modern music?
Oh, I think it's marvelous. Some of it really is fine. But tell me, you ever listen to any of the older fellas?
Oh, yeah, sure. I like John Lennon and the other one with Harry Nilsson.
Go back that far, huh?
Oh, yeah, I'm not as young as I look.
None of us is these days.
In fact, I've got a 6-year-old son, and he really gets excited around the Christmas holiday mm-hmm. thing.
Do you go in for any of the traditional things in the boy household, Christmas time?
Oh, yeah, most of them, really. Presents, tree, decorations, agents sliding down the chimney.
What?
I was just seeing if you're paying attention. Actually, our family do most of the things that other families do. We sing the same songs.
Do you?
I even have a go at White Christmas.
You do, huh?
And this one. This is my son's favorite. Do you know this one?
Oh, I do indeed. It's a lovely thing.
I'm just kidding. David Bowie and Bing Crosby did not do the singing Wookiee song. But I've taken a vow this year. A vow that the only Christmas song I will play is the Wookiee Silent Night. Therefore, you do not get to hear David Bowie and Bing Crosby sing Little Drummer Boy. And it's actually not a very good version, so you're okay. But let's continue with the Wookiees. Well, that works out okay then. I'll go on to the other song that needed some introduction. So there you go, Bing Crosby. The meeting of the minds there of Bing Crosby and David Bowie and Chewbacca. You don't get that on the radio shows, just here. So the next song that I was going to mention, this is a band called Smush. played a little bit of them before. I first saw them at a concert here in San Diego. They were opening for Go Team. It's two ladies. One plays drums, one plays keyboards and sings, and they're like 14. Now you see two 14-year-olds on stage and think, oh geez, this is gonna be boy. I'll tolerate them. And that's what I did. I was outside the club thinking, oh, let's wait for these two to be over. And I heard them, oh, wow, they're not bad. It was really well done. It certainly sounded like more than two people performing. You know, the voice of one of them is a little young, the voice of the singer. But still, I think I gotta support the 14-year-old musicians of today, because they'll grow up to be the 14-year-old musicians of tomorrow. That doesn't make sense. This is one I hadn't heard from Smush before. The song called La Pump, and I believe they're working on a new album now. And yeah.
imagination of a TV station. But look around, here go the sound of a record ball, boom and pound. When I shut them down, I shut them down.
Shut them down.
Tomorrow may never come.
Sometimes I just want a quiet life, me and my baby, me and my lady. Sometimes I don't want to get in snowball. Sometimes I don't want to be a soldier. Sometimes I just want to be a man.
Yeah. Las estrellas me dicen otra. La luz del día me canta esta triste canción. Esta triste canción. Los besos que me diste, mi amor, son los que me están matando. Que mis lágrimas se están secando con mi pistola y mi corazón. Y aquí siempre paso la vida con la pistola.
somewhere. It has to start sometime. What better place than here? What better time than now?
Hey folks, you're listening to Lying Media Bastards on Radioactive San Diego. I'm Jake. That was Rage Against the Machine doing Guerrilla Radio. I think my favorite line in that whole song is when that came out around 2000. They're talking about the 2000 election and the choice between George W. Bush or Al Gore. And he says, "More for Gore or the son of a drug lord," which I like that. Because, of course, George W. Bush's father, George H.W. Bush, at one point was the head of the CIA, and the CIA, known for, let's say, running with drug traffickers whenever it serves their benefit. And, of course, their involvement with the cocaine trafficking during the Contra days. For that song, we had Los Lobos. Doing La Pistola y El Corazón. Before that, we had... what do we have? Black Rebel Motorcycle Club. Doing Six-Barrel Shotgun. The Pixies, Down to the Well. Most Def, doing Umi Says. Public Enemy, doing Shut 'Em Down. Moby, doing That's When I Reach For My Revolver. And we started off with the teen girl band, Smoosh. Young teen girl band. None of this 17-year-old stuff for us. They're like 13 and 15 or something, and they make some pretty good rock. I'd been thinking today of talking about a couple of government revelations that came out. One, the revelation that the Pentagon is spending $300 million on public relations efforts to make America look good around the world. And... which seems to possibly include the sort of stuff that they'd banned before. They said, "Oh no, of course we won't place fake articles in other newspapers as real news. We wouldn't do that." But they are. "We wouldn't pay for positive coverage in Iraqi newspapers," but they are. And also revelation that the Pentagon has apparently been spying on peace groups, anti-war groups, under the very flimsy pretext that, well, what if they tried to breach a military base? We need to make sure our military bases are secure, so we've been spying on these groups and taking tips from law enforcement who are apparently spying on these groups, and using that to keep ourselves safe, blah, blah, blah. Now, I thought, what can I say about either of these? I can't. It's just predictable. It's sort of like somebody came up and said, sort of like, I have this image in my head of like, I'm walking down the street and a friend of mine runs up, starts shaking my arm. Jake, George W. Bush was on TV and he was giving a speech and he said something stupid. And you say, well, yeah, he's always saying stupid things. But, I mean, government pretty routinely spies on activists. Comes up a lot with the anti-war movement is much more popular these days than a lot of activist groups were previous to 9/11. And because of that, your average Joe didn't really know. I think your average Joe wasn't entirely sure that there was such a thing as activism going on. But yeah, these groups were getting spied on. Even during this present era, I remember reading explicitly a story in, I think it was San Jose, California. There was a peace group, and they one of the members discovered an obituary that had one of their members in it, and except the obituary had him under a different name, and it turned out that he was a cop with some sort of joint anti-terrorism task force. And that was just a few years back, and that's, I mean, this stuff is obvious. That the government is actually going to pay money to propagandize people to think that the U.S. is good. Again, not a big shock. But, I thought I was going to play some more music on the show before I take it off. But I don't think I really have time to do such a thing. So We'll just hop into the closing theme music, because I like doing that. You have been listening to the Lying Media Bastards radio show with Jake Sexton. If you would like to hear a recordings of this show or past shows, go to his website, lyingmediabastards.com, as well for his fabulous written political commentary. If you have a question before this coming Monday, the 19th, that you would like Noam Chomsky to be asked, you should email Jake at jake@lyingmediabastards.com, because he can possibly make that happen. For various reasons that you may have missed if you tuned into the show late, and you should be punished for tuning into the show late. I will probably see you all next week, and I will play more Singing Wookiees.